Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Slaughter podcast will have disgusting topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still listening, no, we don't want to go back to yours for a coffee.
Okay, so I'm starting this week and my murderer is from Buckinghamshire and he is called John Owen. So I'm going to start with...
Double first name. Going to be a weirdo.
I'm going to start with the murder.
Ooh.
I think. Yeah.
No foreplay with this one.
I'm going to start with the victim. So Emmanuel Marshall. It's like a religious sounding name, isn't it? It's like a... Like he's someone... He's like a someone.
Are we guessing?
No, that's his name, Emmanuel Marshall.
Oh, I thought you said A, as in like...
A man with a Marshall.
No, like Emmanuel Marshall, like a manual labourer. I thought it was his job title.
Ah, no, his name is Emmanuel.
Oh!
Emmanuel. Is it Emmanuel? Marshall. He was a mechanic, so he was a labourer. A mechanic, engineer and blacksmith. So he's the kind of guy you want to date, because you can do all of the shit.
My mum is always saying that, like... Get a guy that can fix things around the house.
Honestly, it will save you so much.
She then also complains if they don't have a PhD and two mortgages, so I don't really know what she's after.
I just want a qualified doctor who can fix the car and rewire a house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Brilliant. That's what we all want. Or we could just do it our fucking selves. So, he is from the village of Denham, and he lived with his wife and his mother. Like, he tolerated the mother-in-law. No, he's his own mother. I couldn't do that. Definitely not.
No.
And three children in a detached cottage. So he was doing quite well. But there's a lot of them under that one roof. He had his sister was going to come and stay. So what do
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Bring another one in.
That's it.
Just finding another hen pecking me.
So what do you do if you have a four-bedroom house and you've
Oh my God, is he shagging his sister?
And you've got three children... And your mother live in there, and you haven't got enough room for someone to stay when they come and visit.
So you have a mattress on the floor?
No, he fucking sent his youngest child away to make room. Like, off you go! We need this room.
Maybe it was a ruse. Maybe that kid was an actual shitbag. And they're like, how can we get rid of him without him kicking off?
Just send him away. So his sister came to stay because she needed some help planning her wedding, which I totally understand. It is hard work.
Like, yeah, but to send off your firstborn.
Yeah, we need to sort out this wedding. Goodbye to you. Well, it's bloody lucky that they did, considering what happened.
I no longer care about your upbringing. Which I really want to know is salmon canapes? Yeah.
So the neighbours remember seeing the family on Saturday of the weekend that they were there. This is quite a long time ago, by the way. But no one was seen on Sunday or Monday. So it all went really, really quiet. So around, this is in 1870.
Right.
This is a long, long time ago. Okay. At around 6 p.m, Emmanuel Marshall's sister-in-law tried to get into the house. So she lives locally as well.
So another relative is coming round, sticking their nose in. How the hell did anyone get murdered in this situation? They've got someone checking on them every 5 minutes.
So his sister's there, her sister's coming round.
How they had any children is a miracle. Yeah.
So, having not seen the family for several days, she lived locally. She went around to knock on. Right. Probably wanted some, I don't know, leftovers.
I often think about that. Like, how long would it take for someone To find me.
I thought you'd be murdered this morning because you didn't message me back straight away. I was like, Emma's dead. I nearly went on the Facebook group and went, I think Emma's dead.
But you didn't ring anyone. I mean, like, so you suspected, but how long until you'd have called the police or, like, called my mum or something?
No, but it'd literally been an hour since I messaged you. Like an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, she hasn't read it yet. She might be dead. I'm hypervigilant since we started this podcast that people are trying to murder us. Like, we got an email from someone talking about the podcast and wanted to arrange a coffee for a meeting. And I was like, they must be a murderer. This person is definitely a murderer with some kind of ruse trying to flatter us into murdering us.
I'm definitely hypersensitive. Lucy mentioned on the Facebook group that she was going to murder me. I was like, right, I knew it was going to happen. This has been her plan all along.
It has been my plan all along. But I'm just going to leave it till the right time.
Oh, it's a double bluff.
So the house was all locked up. She couldn't get in. So she asked a local labourer, some guy, Charles Alderman, to force open the front door. So she's basically like, I can't get in. Can you get in for
me? I couldn't possibly force open this door myself.
So I couldn't force open most doors myself.
It depends what it's made out of. You can use an object. Pick up a boulder and smash it in. A nice 19th century boulder. They were bigger back then. They were stronger.
So they got in.
Boulders, not the people.
Yeah. They got into the house. And then walking in, basically the room was covered in blood. Like,
oh, shit.
As soon as the door opened, like, it was blood everywhere. And then Mrs. Marshall lay dead on the floor. So the wife of Emmanuel, her body was just lying on the floor alongside Mr. Marshall's sister. So I was
immediately gone. Thought it was her, seeing as she was the newcomer. The mum has lost it.
No,
it's her house, and she can't stand all these people coming to visit.
The wife of Emmanuel and the sister of him were dead on the floor, and both had been bludgeoned to death. So they'd
fucking
been
boulder
smacked over the head. So she carried on looking round. I mean, I would
scream and run.
I would get out and I would wait for the police at that point. There's no way I'd be like, I'll just check the other rooms.
I'll make a final tally of the body count.
I guess you've got niece and nephew. You might think, I might just check if they're like...
See if you can save anybody.
Horrified in a corner somewhere. So she carried on looking round, and in the back room found Mr. Marshall's mother's body and the bodies of the three children.
What?
So they were...
He'd better be dead as well.
I
don't often wish people dead.
What, the Emmanuel?
Yeah!
Well, you'll find out. So the youngest had been saved by being sent away. They'd gone. So it was a blessing that they were... neglectful parents.
All your family's dead.
Yeah,
you're the lucky one.
That poor bloody kid.
I bet you didn't fucking feel it.
Everyone that you know, everyone that is close to you is dead. The children were named Mary, Teresa and Gertrude, and they were aged 8, 6 and 4, so they were the children that had been killed. So the one that had been sent away was younger than 4. So I hope they didn't just stick it on a train on its own. And their heads were completely smashed in. Like, horrifically bludgeoned. This was a horrible, horrible crime. Mr. Marshall's body, so Manuel's body, was in the workshop.
Oh, so he was dead too. So he didn't kill his family.
No. And he had been hit by a sledgehammer. And in there was an axe and a poker, and they were all covered in blood. So basically, someone had gone in on a complete rampage and grabbed anything heavy in the house and just murdered a lot of them. Just horrific. Body had been covered with a blanket, which was weird because all the others were just sort of left on show. But Emmanuel Marshall had been covered with a blanket, and all the victims had been in their nightwear, apart from Mr. Marshall, who'd been up in the workshop working on something. So initially people believed that Emmanuel had killed his family, like you said, and then committed suicide. Now, I don't know how they believe this, considering his head was caved in, but very quickly, it was really obvious that he hadn't knocked himself on the head with a sledgehammer and then pulled a blanket over himself as he was dying. So I think it was just when people heard about the murder, they were like, oh, it must have been the dad.
Yeah, because what motive would someone have for that kind of massacre?
Beggars belief, doesn't it? So doctors disputed that basically straight away. based on how he died, and he had actually been in the first to been killed. So they'd got into the workshop and then murdered him, and then the family had heard that happening.
That's the only thing I was going to say, like, he must have been the target then. If he was the one that was treated differently, had gone to murder him first, and then the others had just got in the way.
Well, yeah, got in the way, or I was looking at some stuff about this because...
You have to research for the podcast, Lucy. I'm glad.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of people talked about the fact that someone had gone in to kill him, and then obviously people had woken up, but they talked about how the murderer had to have experienced the delirium of slaughter, and I was like, oh, it's a slaughter, that's the name of my podcast. But they said that a lot of soldiers get the urge to continue to kill once they've sort of committed a murder.
Once you stab, you just can't stop.
Yeah. Bit like Pringles. So
you say that about stabbing.
It's very Moorish. So I tried to look into this a little bit. I looked at Bradley Manning, which was a US soldier who sent documents to WikiLeaks, and he said the reason that he'd done that is because he'd seen that people get a lot of bloodlust on the battlefield, and he said that's quite a common thing. Right. So it made me think about a lot of these kind of similar murders where there's a lot of victims in one place at one time, and maybe there is kind of like a primal thing that people start murdering and then they're just like, oh, just...
No, a spree killing.
You sort of go into some sort of like delirious state and sort of can't help yourself. I don't know. I mean, you've definitely got to be a certain kind of person to think that's... I don't know. I've never murdered anyone.
I'm going to say you might really love it.
Might be my
You day. Could be missing out on one of your life's greatest pleasures. Like, once you've actually chopped the legs of your dog off, like, you might want to keep going.
I might. I'm not going to put it on the line and find out. I'm just going to be honest about that. A bricklayer named Charles Coombs told the police of a John Owen, who he was suspicious of, as he'd suddenly started wearing really
red. All of his clothes had dyed red.
Yeah, like brown.
He's wet all the time.
So he'd started getting nicer clothes and he'd got a new watch straight after this killing. Which, I mean, he's a total rookie. He gave the address that...
Oh, what, so they'd robbed the house as well?
Yeah, he'd taken stuff while he was there. He was like, oh, I'll just take this outfit, some boots, a watch. So he gave the address that Owen had fled to, and he was found in the tramp's kitchen at Oxford Arms. Now, I don't know if a tramp's kitchen is a popular part of a building, but I looked it up and I couldn't find anything. But what I did find... was quite a funny TripAdvisor review.
For the Tramp's Kitchen?
About tramps in a kitchen. I thought I'd read it to you.
Last night, I saw there was a table outside. I was in town for drinks. There was a table outside, lots of people wearing high-vis jackets, a couple of dogs around. And I was like, yes, it's some sort of like table to go and stroke dogs. Went over, oh no, it's the soup kitchen for homeless people. And I just barged in and started stroking all their dogs. I thought it was going to be like hearing dogs or seeing dogs. Why the high-vis jackets?
Why is this petting zoo in the middle of town?
No, it was a tramp's kitchen.
It was a tramp's kitchen. So here is a review for a place in London that I thought was quite funny. The wait was lengthy but manageable, and we even had a little fun laughing and joking about it. Lol, lol, lol. However, as soon as you squeeze into the foyer of the restaurant, if you're lucky, you can clearly see the kitchen staff. Rather reminiscent of viewing animals at the zoo. One skinhead chef, in air quotes, was chewing a cocktail stick, playing on his phone, sitting on one countertop, while his feet rested on another, about a foot away from where the outgoing food was shelved under hot lights. A taller one was eating something while frying food on a grill with his other hand, all while a mustachioed chef, quotes again, licked chocolate sauce off his fingers in the doorway. While I stood staring at the show of my friends, while I stood staring at this show, it must be some of my friends, were being told that we'd have to wait an hour to sit by a rude, rotund lady. I love that description. heard good stuff about the food, but unfortunately it didn't get to that point. We walked and will not return. If I'd seen this after eating, I wouldn't have thought twice about storming into the kitchen to give my opinion, and don't think they'd score close to average on an environmental health visit. I just love that they walked in and it's like chaos. It's just a man licking chocolate sauce off his fingers.
I was waiting for them to reference Tramp's Kitchen.
That's what came up when I searched for Tramp's Kitchen. Oh, so, like, there were tramps in the kitchen. So, back to John Owen.
That's his... Or what do you mean, like, if I'd have seen this after eating? No, you saw all this before eating, so you fucking walk out the restaurant and don't be a dick about it.
Yeah.
Like, you were well informed before anyone tried to make you eat the food. Nobody has tried to make you eat the food from this Tramp's Kitchen. Don't complain about it.
I don't think
your eyes were wide open this whole time. Wait, nothing was hidden from you. He licked his fingers in front of your face. Turn around and walk out.
To be fair, I probably would want to know to not go there.
I don't know. They sound like a pretty fun gang.
No, I did kind of think that it looks like...
I was like, oh, skinhead chef. Oh, mustachioed, you say? I'm into this.
So John Owen was arrested despite trying... Oh, they tried to arrest him and he just started shooting at the police. They got him down and they arrested him. The police found a pawn ticket in Owen's room.
A what?
A pawn ticket. Not like porn, like, gonna go watch some porn. He was watching
porn.
Like
a peep show.
Arrest him. So he'd pawned stuff. And at the shop where it said the ticket, they found Mr. Marshall's watch and some of his clothes. Ooh. So... big link there. Owen was also wearing his boots, so he'd like stuck on the boots of the person he killed and just paraded
dead
around
man's shoes
them. Yeah. He admitted they were his and said they were a present, and he said that he was at the murder but he didn't participate.
Right,
so he was like, yeah, I was there but I didn't do nothing.
That's the classic 10-year-old response.
Yeah,
like, I just saw you. And like, well, I was there but I wasn't the one. Bitch, please.
So Owen had been in prison before, and he was recognised on arriving at Reading Jail. So he took him to prison, and basically some of the warders said, oh yeah, we've met him before. Last time he was here, as he was leaving, he was like, well, I won't be back because Mr. Marshall owes me some money, so I'm going to go and visit him. And if he doesn't give me the money, I'm going to fucking kill him.
Oh, so, dear God.
I mean, bad luck that it's the same wardens. But this guy is not an intelligent
what
murderer.
Kind of cocky bastard do you have to be to boast to the wardens? Well, I'll just go and do a killing.
Like, to the wardens as well. Like, at least tell your mates, like, down the cells.
Yeah, you're bragging to the wrong set of people here.
It's like bragging to the dinner lady about how you're going to, like, kick in another kid's face. Like, I'm going to do this. Yeah, that's not the person that you want to tell. So when he was transferred for trial, the crowd at the railway station booed and hissed at him, which I thought was a little bit like, oh, boo, like a bit like a panto when he's like, yeah, massacred a whole family. Hiss.
He deserves more. Does anyone actually hit, like, should it be like a s? Does anyone do that?
A panto?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not like in real life.
That sound doesn't really carry, does it?
Do like someone who's dumped you really maliciously and they walk in the room like, I'm annoyed at this person. So witnesses also...
I'm just going to douse you in my spit. That'll show you.
It would show them.
I fucking would. I should start spitting on more people, to be fair. They need to know how mad I am.
I'm annoyed with you.
Spitting angry.
So witnesses also claimed to have seen Owen near the Marshall's house early on Sunday. So the bodies were found on Monday. The watch he had was also identified as Mr. Marshall's. So, like, loads and loads of evidence. This time, when Owen was moved to Aylesbury Jail, the crowd were a little bit more violent. There were over 100 of them, and they were trying to attack John Owen.
I mean, this is dedication. Like, in, like, the late 1800s, to have found out that a murderer was going to be moved, that a prisoner was going to be moved. Like, how do you hear about that kind of event? Like... you're obviously watching out for it in the papers, yeah. Like, gathering everyone around, let's go and meet him. Like, you can't just quickly see it on Twitter pop in your car. Like, they're yeah, really true. Dedicating themselves to, I will see this murderer and I will hiss as loud as I can.
I will hiss.
I will make the most threatening sound that I can muster.
Well, this time they wanted to smack him up.
I'll show him.
Yeah. So the crowd was so violent that they had to sort of retreat a little bit. So they had to board a train without John Owen on it, and the police, like, the police just got
ourselves to the prison.
So the police just got, like, some random guy on a train and were like, oh yeah, the prisoner's on this train, and then the train left, and then they were like, everyone go home now. So everyone started leaving, and they could, like, smuggle him onto another train.
So they made an innocent, supposedly, go through the trauma of facing that crowd and getting on the train to protect the person who committed the murder.
Well, I think they were just worried they would never get him on the train. Like, it was just going to be absolute chaos. I mean, I assume it was like a plainclothes policeman or something. But
still, if someone's got to go through it, it might as well be him, the person.
So they had to sort of smuggle him on. So Owen pleaded not guilty at trial, even though a number of witnesses were there. The pawnbroker was there, the man who'd told Owen, who'd given him a lift. A woman who had chatted to him on the day that he committed the murder, so she'd placed him in the right place. And she'd thought he was Mr. Marshall, so she, like, had a whole conversation with him, right. Like, oh, having a good morning, are you? Oh, yes, I'm coming out of my house where I've got my three children and sister. I'm going for, like, some sort of convoluted conversation that they'd had. So everyone was like, this is all crap. Like, there's so many people witnessed you. He was sentenced to death. So...
that makes it fun for the prosecution, though. You don't just want to lay down and take it. Like, at least, you know, have a go at
you got it.
Humiliating
fight.
Them. Put up a fight. Let me tear you down.
So he was really cocky. The whole time was like, I'm never going to go down for this. I'm going to escape, blah, 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 blah. And even two nights before his hanging, he weirdly asked to spend his last two nights sleeping in the coffin that he's going to be buried in. I mean, that's weird, isn't it?
You've got the rest of your fucking life to do this. Yeah. Don't spoil it before it's actually time.
Make sure it's comfy.
It'll take the shine off.
Because at first I was like...
the novelty will be gone by the time you have to spend eternity in this coffin.
I was a bit like, at first I was like, maybe he wants to leave something in there for when he gets... and I was like, oh no, wait, he'll be dead. Like, this
I suppose maybe, like, because obviously when he is dead, he won't know. Maybe he's thinking, oh, I want to know what it will be like.
I don't know, it's weird. It's
but two weird. Nights, like, after the first night, you think, right, I've done it now. That's enough.
Yeah, two nights specifically.
But then he was like, got up, lived a day, and then was like, I think I'm going to sleep back in there.
Maybe it was better than the cell bed they were giving him.
I bet he didn't get a nice one. No. He'll have had an MDF one.
Yeah, you're right.
He'll have had IKEA standard coffin.
Plywood.
Yeah.
Before being hanged, Owen, so he was marched out to the crowd and he asked to speak to the crowd.
Did he embalm himself?
No, but basically he did still claim to be innocent. He pretended to forget the name of Emmanuel Marshall, who he was obviously found guilty of killing. So he was like, I didn't kill that John...
Emmanuel Labourer.
Emmanuel Labourer. That... James Michaels, that you're convincing me that I did. Like, he just thought it would make him look, like, they'd be like, look, he must innocent. Be innocent. This man who can't even remember the name of the man that he's killed.
Nothing better than a Victorian mob getting the wrong end of the stick.
But no one gave a shit. Like, they were like, you're still gonna die.
We just want to see a hanging.
Yeah. So he was hanged, and and that morning he'd also threatened to punch his executor in the face because they hadn't come and seen him the day before as well. He was like, I'm going to punch that guy in the mouth.
It sounds like he might have been confused about the day he was supposed to die. Like, this is my last night. I'm going to sleep in my coffin. I want to see the executioner. And then when he realised it hadn't happened, right, I'll punch him. Oh, God, I'm going to have to sleep in the fucking coffin again.
I just think he was, like, one of those people that just, like, the slightest thing that makes them look a bit stupid or... they don't agree with, they just go absolutely, like, they just can't take it. Like, they just fly off the handle. And it's like, so you're just like, can you just take your coat off? And they're like, rah! Like, they just cannot handle, just storming out, chucking papers all over the floor. Like, one of those people, I reckon. He was hanged to the, obviously, the delights of the crowd. Obviously, everyone thought he deserved it. He killed lots of children. And now every year, even now, on the 22nd of May, the anniversary of the crime, someone anonymously leaves flowers on the Marshall family's grave at St. Mary's Church in Denham. So the tradition is that there's flowers there every year. So they're not forgotten.
That's super nice. So we have an obligation to fulfill.
What's this?
We promise we'd do a Texas accent.
We surely did.
I just want some biscuits and gravy.
They were disgusting.
They're the fucking worst. It's not a biscuit and it's not gravy. It's all like, of it's wrong.
It's like a weird cake with like congealed phlegm.
It was like a scone with, grey. Why would you put a grey sauce on something?
Grey, like that stuff you cough up when you've got a cold.
And what flavour was it supposed to be? Did they say it had mushroom in?
Oh, really? I thought it was supposed to be like sweet.
It was rank.
Biscuits and gravy are not good. I thought it was going to be a biscuit and some gravy. And I dunked my biscuit in my gravy.
I didn't enjoy it. I'm sorry.
So we've got double historical this week.
Yeah, we have.
Wow.
You fucked up.
This is educational.
So mine is the story of Mary Piercy. It might ring some bells for some people. So she has links in the Jack the Ripper case. Ooh. So those people that like to nerd out about that will probably know what I'm talking about. I'll mention it at the end.
Hate and unsolved.
So she's quite an interesting case. She was made a bit of a big deal of. At the time, 68 women had been hanged, ever. And 37 of them were for poisoning people, a la Mary Cotton of episode one.
Episode one, all that time ago.
And then another lot, most of the next lot of women were murdered, husbands or children, members of their own family. And so Mary Piercy was interesting because she murdered another woman. Which we'll
girl
get on to.
Girl.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, girl on girl action.
That's going to be the...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The title of this episode is going to be our best one yet. That's what people have been wanting from me and you for a really long time.
Want some girl-on-girl action. Well, you've got it now.
So, she was born in 1866 as Mary Eleanor Wheeler, and she was often described, and you'll still see this online now, but she was described at the time as being the daughter of a guy called Thomas Wheeler, who was a convicted murderer, and whose death by hanging apparently seriously affected her mental health growing up. I mean, the press and the public, loved that idea, because it sort of affirmed their belief that you're born evil and evil's hereditary. And because then it puts you in a position of, well, that's running in their family and it's not in ours. It can give you in us and them. Whereas if you go down the line of it could happen to anybody, or it could be a mental health issue, or it could be this, then it means that you're all vulnerable.
Anyone could be a murderer.
Yeah. So it was widely spread that she was the daughter of a convicted murderer. But Mary's mother, Charlotte, put the record straight at the trial, even though you'll still find it other places, by stating that her father was James Wheeler, but had still died while Mary was a teenager. So it's interesting, because these things get lost in the sands of time, and you could be sceptical and say, well, maybe she was trying to defend her daughter by saying, no, it wasn't that guy. Maybe it was. Mm. It wasn't, but, like, you can think.
So her dad wasn't a murderer?
No. He was just a guy, James Wheeler, like, chilling. But he did die when she was...
He was definitely chilling. Like, if anything this guy was doing, he was fucking chilling. Like, he wasn't out murdering. No. He was too busy chilling.
Like, that's what he was known for. He was like, oh, I'm just, like, you know...
He had, like, long hair. He, like, lived by the beach. He was fucking chilling all the time.
Probably by the docks.
Probably.
But yeah, he still died, and this death did still affect her badly, and she did, a couple of months after his death, she did try and commit suicide.
Aww.
By attempting to hang herself from the nail in the garden where the washing line was hung to.
That's funny, because hanging is usually quite a male way of trying to commit suicide, because it's more final.
Well, exactly, which I was thinking, possibly, just being forced to scrub stains from, like, the gusset of her mother's bloomers. Like, if I was having to do that, it would probably affect me in a similar way. Like, I've had enough of this!
Yeah.
This is not the life for me.
That is pretty rank.
Because you would have had to proper scrub stains back then.
Oh, yeah.
Just buy new clothes. It's not worth it.
Mm.
So, after this, she recovered, and she met a man named John Charles Piercy. Well, she was 18 years old, and she worked in a sealskin factory.
A what?
Yeah, so seals... I was the same. I was like, did we wear sealskin? And I stupidly believed that sealskin... I thought it was like a dolphin.
Is it actual seal skin? Like, yeah. This is not like some sort of... It's not like moleskin, where it's not a real moleskin.
No, it's sealskin, like, but like furry. And they're like in the factory, they would have a method of like skimming off the top layer of fur so that it was shorter and...
I thought it was like a dolphin. I thought it was like smooth and slippy.
I thought it was smooth and slippy, but I think that's just because they're wet and they look slippy.
Oh, yeah. I know, because when they were little babies, they're like little fluffy little boo.
Yes, they would make them into coats and things and gloves and shit like that.
Baby seals make into coats. That is worse than any of these.
That's the worst crime of this tale.
Yeah.
But she didn't work there for long.
Good.
So they hooked up and they started living together. They'd only known each other about 3 or 4 months before they moved in, which is brave.
That's pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
We waited a year.
I mean, it's not Jeremy Kyle quick, but it's real life quick. And she started using his surname.
But then wasn't this back in the day where it was like, we went on a date, now we're engaged.
But that's the thing, they weren't. They just started living together and she started calling herself Mrs. Piercy, which I think is like, props for the next level entrapment skills. Like,
we're married.
Yeah, like with my ex, I'd be like, oh, are you going to propose? Whereas she was like, okay, I've changed my name now. Like, tough. She just did the hard work for him.
It's a darn deal.
And it's assumed that they had a loving relationship. But, I mean, considering the morals at the time, like you said, where it would have been unethical for them to just live together and be fucking, like, I think it's possible that maybe just this was sort of like an arrangement that sort of gave them both freedom, because as a married woman she wouldn't have to work in the seal skin factory, she wouldn't have to be chaperoned places. If he had a wife, like a fake wife, he could maybe go out and do things. Well, none of this is part of the research, but I mean, why would someone...
You heard it here first, he was gay.
But why would someone move in that quickly at a time when it was expected that you get married? They would have got married. Why would they pretend to be married when they could have been?
Because you wouldn't have to do, like, the big... Like, my wedding is stressing me out, but you wouldn't have to do all that shit. You'd go, like, local church, down the pub, done.
Yeah. So, John Piercy, at the trial, and this was taken... There's a blog where they do a Murderous Monday, which is really good. So, you should look for Murderous Monday Blogspot.
Like,
he was very matter of fact, and he just, as he described how they got together, he said, well, we met and lived together, and then we ceased living together when she she just continued using my name. Like, there was no emotion attached to it. He didn't mention any anger at her leaving or using a name. He didn't mention about that they fell in love. He was like, we met and lived together and she had my name. So it comes across quite clinical.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want Sarah Waters to write a period drama about this relationship where he is, you know, he is a closet gay and he can't go out and he needs to be married, and then it would be amazing.
That would be just down her alley. Like, that is exactly the kind of thing she would enjoy writing
it's
about.
It's total tipping the velvet. It's brilliant. Yeah. Maybe I should write it.
Do it!
But I just put fuck every other word and no one would watch it.
Yeah.
But eventually Mary messed up their relationship or arrangement because she continued to be seen walking out in public with other men, which again gives like adds to my theory that it was like a marriage of convenience because she was open.
They were both sort of just...
Yeah, she was dating other people, but his annoyance was the fact that she was seen dating other people.
Right.
So...
How could she not be though, unless she was going to bring everyone to her house?
Exactly. So then she moved out, still called herself Mrs. Percy, obviously gives her certain privileges, but began a string of affairs with men, and she managed to get the prostitution sweet spot, where she was age 24, and she was living in an apartment in Kentish Town, which is paid for by one of her gentleman friends, Mr. Crichton of Gravesend.
Oh.
So he would pay for her apartment, everything.
That's quite the commute in those days, like nipping up from Gravesend. That would have taken quite a while.
Yeah. Well, he would only visit her once a week. I'm like, fucking brilliant. Because you don't have to be that into him and just see him once a week, and then you have all your board paid for.
That's I was listening to the latest Guys Who Fucked episode, and they were talking about people who have like daddies, and they're like men that they might meet up with who would give them an allowance, but then they'd maybe see them once a week as kind of like a... And I just thought it was like...
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what he was. Like, he was her daddy.
Just like an arrangement that seems to work for everyone. It's like an older guy gets to see a younger girl regularly. It's kind of like buying a girlfriend, but I think it's more like emotional than just like prostitution.
Yeah. So, and like my mum, who also gave the advice of marrying a postdoctoral labourer, also advocates this as the secret to a happy marriage, that she is convinced that if you want your marriage to last,
see other men.
No. She's not cheating on my dad, but live in separate houses. She's like always saying, like, we're gonna sell this house, get two flats next to each other.
Just wants to get as far away.
I'll see him once a week, couple of times a week, and then I get to go home on my own.
Just now he sold his flat and moved home. She's like, you're here all of the time.
My dad did live separately for work, and she loved it.
Yeah,
we used to chill all the time.
Yeah,
like
Gilmore Girls.
But apart from this, her only relatives and friends sort of nearby were her mother and her older sister. So although her life was cushy, it was full of loneliness, like long periods of time where she had nothing to do, no one to see, just punctuated with a visit from Mr. Wednesday. That's about it. And just like getting wasted on her own.
Oh.
So she started drinking.
That's
no fun. I know. That's the only reason I have friends. No. Is that I don't have to get drunk alone. So, I mean, it would be an ideal situation. If she had access to Netflix, the dream. But it's pretty much just a recipe for depression when her main source of entertainment, she had a piano in the flat.
Yeah, imagine having no Netflix, no phone. Yeah. Like,
she literally sat around. I mean, chopsticks grows old pretty fast. It's no good. So, obviously, she's totally bored, totally, like, just sinking into depression, like, drinking. And so, eventually, she started a relationship with prime fuckboy Frank Hogg, who said that he loved her and they were totally head over heels, but he was still sleeping with loads of other women. Ugh. I mean, she still had her obligations to fulfill to Mr. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, wow.
But he also was sleeping around.
I mean, you can't check his phone, though, in those days. There's no, like...
Well, I mean, they were open about it. She knew that he was doing it. So she could handle it at first, seen as she had other things to do, and she had a flair for the dramatic. So she would light a candle and leave it in the window as a secret signal that I'm free, come round, like, to Frank. I just think if she'd have been able to read The Great Gatsby, she'd be like, that's me. Although the ending probably wouldn't have inspired her. So eventually Frank Hogg got one of his side chicks, Phoebe, pregnant. and her family came down really hard, pressuring Frank that he had to marry Phoebe. So he didn't want this at all and was threatening to kill himself rather than get married.
Oh, shit, he really didn't want it.
Yeah, he was saying, I'm going to emigrate, I'm going to die, like, I can't go through with this.
I mean, how bad was Phoebe?
Phoebe was a little bit older. So Mary's 24, this, like, delicate lady. Phoebe was 31.
Oh, 31. What an old troller. 31. She's past it. That's so depressing. I'm so smug right now. But she was older. She was supposed to, she was said that she wasn't as attractive. He was sort of an accident.
Well, he was shagging her, though. And he's like, oh, I got her pregnant. I'd rather die. I mean, look, that is brutal. They were both very emotionally manipulative. So he was saying to Mary, oh, I'm going to kill myself. And then she was writing letters to him, trying to convince him not. And they produced these letters in court to show how much Mary was obsessed with him, that she was begging him to reconsider for her sake, saying, I'd rather see you married 50 times over than not have you in my life at all.
So she wanted him to marry Phoebe just so he'd still be around.
Pretty much. She was like, I'll just do anything to keep you in my life.
Yeah. She got it bad.
So Frank and Phoebe did get married and had a little baby girl.
Yeah.
They called her Phoebe.
What? Phoebe.
I mean, he wasn't into this marriage, so I think he was pretty much... She was like, Frank, what should we call our daughter? I don't give a shit. Fine. I'll give her the name I know.
Yeah, the one name that I've heard. Oh, that's weird. Calling, like...
Again, I reiterate, the only name I like is mine. I'm going to have Emma Jr.
That's weird.
I'm amazing. And she'll also be too.
Like, Phoebe sounds more like a noise than a name as well.
Mimi and Frank lived with his sister Clara, and all three women in his life, sister Clara, Mimi and Mary, began a really twisted girl squad where they hung out and were friends.
Like your crazy ex-girlfriend, they're like, we are mates.
Yeah.
They got t-shirts and...
But yeah, when got weirdly. Together. It's like The Bachelor, where all those women have to live together and be friends, but then they have to go off on dates with people, and it's fucking toxic.
Yeah.
I love trash TV.
Or I Want to Marry Harry.
Oh, the best.
That was the best one.
Please watch I Want to Marry Harry.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so funny.
So amazingly awful.
They basically convince a load of Americans that they're dating Prince Harry.
It's just a ginger man. So emotional manipulation continued to be the...
order of the day.
Yeah. And because Mary was then threatening to kill herself if Frank stopped coming to visit her. She was asking for more time, come regularly, and she resented the time. The fact that now that they were married, Phoebe would get him every night.
Like, if you ever can go on a date with me, I'm totally going to kill myself because, like, I can't stand it. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah. I mean, her letters again revealed that she believed that Frank's love and attention were literally the only thing she was living for.
Oh, God.
Saying that she had long days of solitude and that she would think so much, it would make her dizzy. I mean, that's overthinking, like, to the extreme.
She needs to get a part-time job.
And so, but she had nothing to do, so her jealousy and frustration were just allowed to build.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. Do you know when you're like in an argument with someone and then they ignore you and you have time to sort of play it over in your head over and over and you just get more and more mad?
It's crazy.
It's the worst.
So on Thursday the 24th of October in 1890, Phoebe Hogg received a note inviting her over to Mary's flat for tea and asking her specifically to bring the baby. So previously,
kill baby.
I mean, this was plan B. Plan A was she'd previously tried to persuade Phoebe to come view some abandoned houses with her. And Phoebe had quite rightly refused. Yeah, but she kept asking her for tea, come for tea, come for tea. And so eventually she did. So Phoebe and Phoebo Jr.
Phoebo!
She should have called her Phoebo at least. Went inside Mary's rooms. And once inside the kitchen, Mary immediately gave Phoebe a blow to the head with a poker and fractured her skull.
God.
More than one knife was then used to cut her throat, so much to the point that her head was partially severed. and bruises to the arms and bodies of both women suggest that Phoebe had not gone down easily and had put up a fight that had resulted in two shattered windows and kitchen walls and ceiling being splattered with blood. Like, ceiling to floor, this house was covered from the murder of one person. It was horrendous. The neighbours, of course, heard banging, hammering, and the screaming...
Smashing of heads.
The screaming of a child, and admitted that they did nothing about it.
Well,
it was, like you said, domestic violence and, like, ruckuses were regular. They just assumed that it was a woman getting put in her place, apparently. Sorry, you can't see my eye rolls. I realised this on the podcast. There's some heavy eye roll action. But they did nothing. So Mary then used her fucking She-Hulk strength to get the body of 30-year-old Phoebe into the pram on top of the child.
Oh, God.
And it's thought that until this point, the child had been unharmed, having no, like, scratches or cuts or anything.
Oh, get smothered.
Yep. And died due to being smothered.
What a way to go. Smothered
under its mother's corpse.
Of your dead mother. It's probably
pretty
still
horrific.
That's depressing.
So sometime after this, Mary changed the top layer of her skirts, put on her bonnet, and pushed the pram out, went outside, and started walking the streets with the pram.
The corpse of a woman.
I mean, she just really crammed it in there, covered it up with a blanket.
How much can you cram in a 30-year-old woman's body?
She managed
it. She'd have to be slight.
And started walking the streets. So she dumped Phoebe on a building site, just in the open, but on a building site, walked a bit further away, the baby on some wasteland, and then a further mile away, eventually dumped the pram. And all told, she walked about 6 miles that night to drop off her cargo.
Got Pokemon Go on, getting some eggs hatched.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dog walker's dream. Follow this round route, and you can discover this many bodies.
Yeah.
So she, Frank just thought nothing of it, of his wife's absence that night. I mean, he wasn't really that attentive a husband, and he just assumed, oh, she'll be at her sister's.
Didn't really like her anyway.
And then Frank's sister Clara read about the discovery of a body on the Saturday morning. So she said to Frank, okay, there's a body, Phoebe's not been around, you go to his sister's and check that she's definitely there, and I'm going to go to Mrs. Piercy's house. So immediately she had suspicions.
Yeah.
So initially, Mary denied that she'd even seen Phoebe. And then, as she kept being pressed, eventually said, well, I have seen her, but I was asked to keep it a secret because she was asking for money. Oh. And this just made Clara more suspicious.
Of course, changing his story.
And the fact that apparently Phoebe was incredibly frugal and would never have asked for money. It's completely out of character. So Clara kept shtum. Smart girl. And said, well, why don't you just come with me to the police station and we'll look at the body together. So they both went to Hampstead Police Station. They went into the room, into the mortuary, and Mary became hysterical at the sight of the body. Shit. Just screaming, it's not her, it's not her.
What?
Clara said, well, the clothes looked like hers, but couldn't tell from the features. Oh, she had to ask the policeman to wash the face. I assumed... When I read, I've been reading Murders from the Black Museum. I assumed when I read it that the features, because she'd been bashed in. But yeah. She was like, but then he said, no, they asked the doctor to clean the face and then I could recognise it. I'm like, well,
it's
why?
Like covered in dirt. And
yeah, I mean, that's
inside.
A man for you, isn't it? Like, well, does it look like her? Well, I can't fucking see. There's 2 inches of mud on it. What do you want from me? Yeah. So the police took them back in once she'd been cleaned. And then Mary again began screaming, trying to drag Clara away, I guess so she wouldn't recognise her potentially. And then her reaction meant that the police were like, okay, this bitch is rattled. Yeah. Like, we're going to go search her house. They'd also spoken to Frank and found a house key for Mrs. Piercy's flat, because he was obviously a regular visitor on him. So this was definitely priority number one. Mary hadn't been arrested at this point, so she said, yes, yeah, sure, you can search it, but I'm going to come with you. So they all went back to her flat, and the police started looking at the blood-spattered rooms. Mary immediately went to the piano and started playing and singing.
Ah! Exactly. Because that's normal.
Exactly. The beginning of her plea for insanity.
Oh.
Like, all... I know, just this again.
No, I'm insane.
Pretty much. She claimed... They asked her about the blood, and she said, I was trying to kill a mouse. Ugh. I mean, from ceiling to floor. Window smashed. She was having some, yeah, some crazy Tom and Jerry action was happening here. The poker they found had matted blood and hair on it. They found a tablecloth covered in blood stashed in a corner. Clothes had been attempted to wash. Curtains had been pulled down, washed.
I mean, that's insanity gone there anyway. If you try and wash something, clearly, I mean, insanity is you didn't know it was wrong. If you try and hide it in any way, that's, you're out.
Yeah, pretty much. So she was arrested, and she did go calmly, and then when they searched her at the station, they removed her gloves and showed that her hands were covered in cuts, and that she had two rings on her wedding finger, one a brass one and one a gold wedding band. Phoebe Hogs was missing.
Oh.
So she'd literally been
like, I'm married to him now!
Yeah. You're my wife now, Frank. And she was still, when they stripped her to give her the prison clothes, she was still wearing the underskirts that were covered in blood. Like, there was no way she could get out of this. So went to trial on the 27th of October. She gave no evidence, and the trial lasted 3 days, with it concluding in her death sentence. I mean, I'm always surprised, like, how long did it take to say, this woman's dead, here's all her blood in this woman's house.
They've got to have, like, tea break every 30 minutes.
3 days is a long time for all of that, you know, quite obvious evidence. So the only other really interesting things, while she was waiting to be executed, she spoke to her attorney and gave him a note saying, I want this posted in the Madrid newspapers. And the message was, initials M-E-C-P, have not betrayed, initials M-E-W, Mary Eleanor Wheeler. So there's something bigger with this. Perhaps someone else did the murder and fled to Madrid. And she was taking the blame for it, having not betrayed. Someone else knew about the murder and had helped her.
So that never got solved?
Never.
That's so weird.
They haven't discovered who the MECP initials are either. Throughout it, they kept asking her, like, oh, have you got anything to say at the trial? Have you got any last words when we're executing you? Have you got anything? And she said that the conviction was just.
Oh.
But that the evidence against her was false. So petty at the end, like, yeah, I did it, but not why you think I did.
Yeah.
Her story was widely publicised, and she had a waxwork of her displayed at Madame Tussauds in sort of like a House of Horrors section.
No way.
She was linked to Jack the Ripper, I said I mentioned this before, for quite tenuously. And this, I saw this come up a couple of times, that they thought she might have been him, or she might have committed some of his murders. Mm. They found evidence of DNA on one of the stamps on a letter that Jack the Ripper had sent. That was
of
a female. No, a female's DNA. So they were saying,
must have been her.
They were saying it could have been a female. And they were saying that, oh, well, she slashed the throat so severely the way that he did sometimes. But, I mean, her motive was clear. She was doing it for a very specific reason.
Yeah, she wanted the man of her dreams.
She wasn't out just slashing prostitutes for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And they also said that reasons why it couldn't have been her was that...
She wasn't alive at the same time period.
No, was that the way that he attacked people, the force that he had to press down on their throat to cut off their windpipe was too much for a woman to have done. I'm like, okay, men are different sizes, women are different sizes. There's some tiny fucking men... There's some massive fucking women. Like, I don't know that you could say this amount of force is a male amount of force, this amount of force is a female amount of force.
Get some hench woman that is like, yeah, it's easy.
Fucking, well, we know she was hench. She fucking lifted a body into a pram and crammed it down.
Yeah, I mean...
So that's that done. Yay!
We did it.
We did it. End of episode 12.
11.
No, Lucy.
Oh, shit.
12. Thanks so much for all the nice reviews and messages and Patreon supporters. That you've been amazing. If you'd like to get in contact,
give us a 5-star review, talk to us on Twitter at SlaughterThePod, email us at slaughterthepodcast@gmail.com, go on the Facebook page, do all of the stuff. Do one of the things.
And listening to Slaughter won't make you a psycho.
But you probably are a fucking psycho anyway, so it won't make any difference.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.